NRP S2 E12, making a website. And welcome to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about making a website. Now, when you make a website, it's a good idea to figure out what you want the site to be and what you want to get out of the site. Say you're wanting to make a portfolio of your work for potential clients. That's something you might want to have a nice professional site. It's good to have your own domain name. It's good to have real hosting. And if you're a very busy, popular site, you want to have good, solid hosting. Now, that's for professionals, but you know, you can also have a free site that you can manage like your own blog of like, here's funny pictures of dogs, and that can work fine. This is stuff you want to think about first, and even if you're doing a free site on a platform such as Blogger or Tumblr or even a free WordPress site, you might want to get your own domain name. Why? It makes it easier for people to find you if, you know, instead of thinking somename.blogspot.com, it's like, that's a little hard to remember, versus like funnycats.com. It's like, well, that's easy to remember, so it's easier to put together. Plus, hosting-wise, I mean, if you're hosting your own site, that's a yearly thing as well, but a domain name is really fairly cheap. You can get them for like $5 a year at some places, or even less, I'm sure. For cheap domain names, you can go to some place like GoDaddy, or you can go to some place like a registrar that host specific names. If you want to have a huge bunch of them, you have to want to keep track of them, you can go to someplace like Hover. A lot of hosts will also handle the names. In fact, it's easier if you have your host and your domain registrar as the same person, so that way it's just one bill. You don't really pay attention to have to watch this guy and watch that guy too. So, but what platform? Now, you can go for the free sites like Tumblr and Blogger that already have the software to manage posts and stuff like that and content, or you can get hosting yourself and be in control of a lot of things. And you know, that's good if you don't want limitations, because you can switch to different platforms on your own host and you can customize things without being stuck to some of the default templates. So it's a matter of what you need. Also, if you're going to be hosting, like if you want to host a video site, you know, I mean, it's really best to go for like, you know, posting your stuff on YouTube and Blip and whatnot, and then embedding that into your site. But I mean, if you're wanting to post like, say, a podcast and store files on your server, you know, you might want to have your actual host, you know. So it's a lot of things to consider. Now, but first let's talk about choosing a domain. Now, choosing a name for your site is actually rather important, but you should be thinking, what's the easiest thing to remember? What's the shortest thing to enter? And even if you don't want, you know, sometimes if you're like doing something for a client and they want, oh, our name is like, you know, three words long and it has to be all, they have to have that whole site, you know, the whole, all the words in the title. Otherwise, how will they know it's us, not someone else? Even if you're going to go for a long name, it's probably a good idea to go for an abbreviated one and redirect it to the longer name as well. Even that guy with the glasses.com redirects to tw@tg.com, because who remembers all of that? It's a lot faster to type in a few letters. And sometimes it's good to even keep the misspellings, like, you know, if your name is always spelled with a certain vowel and people always flip it around or something. And since domains are, you know, you pay for a year of hosting, you can buy them all at once. I know people with over 50 domains and stuff. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, what you want to do is you want to get a simple, when you buy hosting from a place, usually they'll give you one free domain name to start, and that's really what we need to start out with. In fact, if you want to start at a good host, I recommend DreamHost, because that's who I'm on, and they're very, you know, I mean, every host is going to have a hiccup. Any place that says, oh, 100% uptime, they're blowing smoke up your butt. Every host is going to have issues somewhere down the line. It's how they handle them, you know, and be responsible, and whenever somebody has a problem, they directly go, oh, fixing that right now, here you go, it's fixed. You know, that's kind of customer service you want. And a lot of, you know, good medium to really busy sites use DreamHost, and I, you know, that's good. Also, if you're a really big site that needs if you're a really big site, you might enjoy Media Temple. You know, I mean, I've never done anything with them, but they seem very competent, and they also have very beefy servers from what I've heard. I know a lot of very busy sites do business with them. So anyway, if you're going to be hosting a site, buying your own site, there's layers of hosting. There's shared hosting, which is there's a server and you might be on it with multiple people. You know, you might all put your stuff in certain directories on this server, and you might all share you're going to all share the same bandwidth and the same resources on this site. And it's cheaper. The most common server is this, and it's also the cheapest. Now, then there's also a step up from that, which is virtual private server, which is basically a virtualization of a more dedicated server, which is, you know, the top tier of if you got a site that gets trillions of, views a day and stuff, you're going to want a dedicated server. A virtual private server is a virtualization of a dedicated server. You know, it's a lot like shared hosting, except, you know, it's virtual, you know, it's like having a virtual machine on your computer. You know, it's like having, you know, you've got a Mac and then you've got Windows running in a virtual machine, or you've got Linux running in it, and, you know, that server can get shut down and it won't affect the rest of the people on it, and it's a little bit bigger. You know, it's like having your own dedicated server, but it's really an allocation of resources in a much bigger server system. So yeah, there's that. That's the levels of hosting. When you consider your platform, you have to consider what works for what you're going to do. Are you going to be typing news posts? Something like Blogger or Typepad might work for you. And you also want to think about images and whatnot. If you're going to be doing a lot of image posting, Tumblr is very popular with the kids right now. I don't know. I was on it for a long time and nobody was on it. Then all of a sudden, hey, everybody's on Tumblr. You know, so. There's that. If you're going to be hosting your own, you know, WordPress, they have a free version of their, they host stuff and they run all the plugins and they run all kinds of stuff. And you can also pay to upgrade to use custom plugins that they offer you and all kinds of things like that. Or you can run your own self-hosted version and it ties in. It's still a good idea to have a password at WordPress.com versus .org for getting your own version of the software to use. And I'm going to be talking about WordPress in a whole another episode next week, so stay tuned for that. But it's still good to use WordPress.com information because they tie in a lot of things. Like recently there's Jetpack, which is a host of plugins and tracking and stats and all kinds of nice plugins that they're using on their main site that they tie into your own hosted site. So it's a rather interesting platform. WordPress has really come up in the years. I was using it when it first came out, when I first heard people talking about using it for webcomics, because it's already, you know, it's blogging software, but it's got the nice archival nature, and if you can find different ways to use it for webcomics, and it's also open source. So it's very friendly to edit, friendly to get, easy to get things for. It's a nice platform. There's also Drupal, which there's a lot of community in that. I've used Drupal, just in testing. I've never really... Drupal's nice. It's got a lot like Post Nuke, I believe. It's got modules that you can install, you know, and it's like it just starts very bare bones and you can add stuff, and I'm a little, you know, I don't know. I haven't done much with it, but it's a nice platform. Joomla is also another nice one I know next to nothing about, but people like it. And also, if you're going to go for a site that you're going to buy the hosting for and run yourself, Squarespace has a very interesting platform where you can get into the code and edit CSS and all this stuff if you want to do that, but they also just have a lot of things where you pick templates and you can drag and drop and do a lot of editing. You can do stuff. They have apps with your phone. If you got a smartphone, it's another interesting host. A lot of people have been talking about, so I'd recommend checking that out as well. It's all a matter of what you need out of the service. Let's talk real quickly about understanding web standards. Now, this is a thing, if you're going to build your own site, I mean, you might want to get your own host or something, and you might want to just make an HTML site, which is totally fine. But you have to remember that that's going to be limited versus styling, and also, if you start building a site that has pages and pages of recurring content, like when I first started doing a webcomic, I was doing it with HTML for every new page, and then I would just change the code on the main page and add a new page to the archives and stuff like that. And that works for a while, until you realize that you want to change the color on your archives. And you realize you have to go through all those and edit something, and there's no real way to have a standardized. So, you know, you move to PHP scripts, and then you learn more and more about web standards down the road. And web standards are, you know, they're a way of making things easier, separating, like, the content from the styling of the content. CSS stands for Cascading Style Sheets, And what they do, in old HTML, like back in the day in the 90s, you'd be doing a site and you would be doing it in a table, and how many columns, how many rows, and you'd be putting a picture here, and it's good for blocking stuff out. But if, say, you want to be able to just change the color scheme on a whim, you can go to, you know, now with CSS, and, you know, you, it depends on if you're coding it, you can write out scripts and do stuff by hand, or you can have WordPress uses themes, and you can pull out CSS and swap it and change an entire look of a site, change all the styling, all the colors, the fonts, the sizing, all kinds of different stuff, and you can change that just by swapping out one file. Now, the thing about CSS is that it, for a person who editing the style and the look of a site through the code, and it's very, very hard to visualize that. Things like Dreamweaver make it easier now to do that, I'm sure, and there are plenty of courses on CSS, and it's very easy, you know, there's stuff is very identified until it starts getting layered inside of things, and it gets a little more complicated, but there are tutorials online, and there's a lot of push to go for CSS and learning web standards of how to build a site, and also, with CSS and stuff like that, with web standards, listen to the BoagWorld.com podcast about web standards, particularly the first few episodes where they explain what it is, because, even before I really started adopting web standards and paying attention to things like CSS, like SEO, like fluid web design, like a lot of things, like worrying about the fold in a website, a lot of stuff like that, they really help move you along and understand what it means. So I really recommend checking out the Boag World podcast. They speak about it a lot more eloquently than I do. And some other things to talk about with web standards. Fluid website design. Now, obviously there's the whole, you want to have a call to action so that if you're wanting to sell something, or if you're wanting a user to click on something, or if you're wanting to get something across, you want to have all the information flow organically, but also just fluid design of the width of a site, because how a site scales. Because with old table-based designs, if you were browsing on a full-screen browser, you saw everything. And then, of course, older sites that were only 800 by 600, you'd have the thing would be centered, and the sides would be all blank. But now you have fluid sites that you can resize them, and they'll adjust the content to fit the format of your browser. I mean, you can even go to mobile devices now and view a site and have it look proper. So it's a rather interesting thing to be aware of and be considerate of. And also, SEO, search engine optimization. Now, this is a thing, there are entire courses and colleges dedicated to SEO things, and there's people that want to game the system, and they want to go, okay, well, I'm just going to put in all these keywords, see, and people are going to be finding my site because it has these hot keywords that they're looking for. And it's like, well, no, Google strikes that down now. There's a lot of different ways that it doesn't recommend SEO. You don't do SEO because it gives you a strike down, and you have to be, what they want to do is they want to be a good resource for finding stuff. They don't want to have their results flooded with useless sites that have nothing but keywords and then no content value. So there's a lot of referrals, a lot of backtracking, and really, SEO, it's about how you organize your site, how you tag things. Now, I need to get better at tagging. I actually need to go back over my posts and start doing more tagging so that not only can search engines find them better, but also people browsing my site can be able to go, okay, where was that list on how to do a certain head of art? Click, where was that list on things to put together for a site? Click, and it's all about organizing and structure. So that's SEO. That's it for this week. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to be talking about WordPress, and I'm going to be talking about some of my own personal foils, and I've had many, and we're going to be sharing all kinds of things on how to put things together. So thanks for listening. I'll see you all on the other side. find out more, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.